Recent survey reveals that Americans believe they need nearly 1.5 million to retire. Join us today as we explore where this came from and whether this is a good number to use. We'll cover how you can determine your number and tips to ensure you retire securely and on time.
It's easy to get lost on the way to retirement. Things like taxes, improper planning, and excessive market risk can all lead you astray from your goal of a successful and happy retirement. That's where Liz Whittaberry comes in. She's a holistic financial advisor and the founder of Best Path Advisors, and she can help guide you to a better financial path. This is Retire on Your Best Path with Liz Whittaberry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into Retire on Your Best Path with Liz Whittaberry and myself. It's episode number 44, The Magic Number to Retire. That's the topic of conversation today. What is that magic number? We used to see these commercials a couple of years ago, like what's your number or the $1 million conversation. And as Liz pointed out in the teaser this week, 1.5 seems to be the information on this recent survey by Northwestern Mutual. We'll put a link in the show notes for that as well if you'd like to check that out. But interesting conversation, Liz. How you doing, Liz? I'm looking forward to talking about this week with you.
I am doing great. How are you? You sound like you feel a lot better than a couple times ago.
You know, it's you and I were just chatting about it. It's the pollen-y thing. It's the weather still just being all kinds of goofy. We're into April and getting super hot days and then super cold days a couple days later. And I think all the plants and the trees are just as confused as we are. So it winds up messing with you a little bit.
Yeah. We're trying to plant our flowers and hoping that we've waited long enough to get everything in.
Yeah, you go by some of the nurseries and they don't even have some of the stuff they normally have at this time of year because it's just been so weird too. So very interesting. But what are you going to do, right? You know, so 2024 is throwing all sorts of wonky stuff at us. Why not that? But let's talk about our conversation piece this week, Liz, which is that magic number to retire. Again, this survey, which, you know, you were sharing with me and we were talking about from Northwestern Mutual, talking about this 1.5 million or almost, I think it was like maybe 1.46.
1.46.
Like. Yeah. Where'd that number come from?
They surveyed, Ashley, 4,588 adults, and that means 18 or older.
Okay.
So it's not all people that are getting close to retire. And they did that in January of this year. And they asked a question.
Okay.
They said, in a specific dollar amount, how much do you think you will need to save in order to retire comfortably?
Mm.
And this was the answer to that question. This is the average, and we'll get into some of the differences, I think, as we talk about this. But an average of 1.46 million across all of the 4,588 adults that answered this question. So that is a very interesting number.
Yeah, you know, and so interesting too, the asking folks 18 or older would have been, I'd have been curious to see at the results of people maybe, you know, a little bit more seasoned in life, like just 40 and over, right? Something like that. But, you know, let's talk about those breakdowns a little bit. So if that magic number is 1.46, and that is up a little bit from a few years ago when I think most people felt like 1 or 1.2 was needed. Was there any kind of breakdown by age or group on how that answered? Or
there is. So the boomers actually say 990,000. And then
really? Okay.
It increases the younger the people are. So your Gen Z say 1.63 million.
Well, that's encouraging that they're thinking about it, you know, that they're at least viewing it. Yeah, so that's good.
And then they broke out high net worth, which they said was anybody with a million plus.
Mm-hmm.
I point out that then they also say how much these people have saved in the high net worth, a million plus, didn't all have a million plus saved. So that was an interesting tidbit. But high net worth say they need 3.93 million. So almost 4 million if you're high net worth, which does make sense based on
your lifestyle.
The people that I talk to. Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that does make sense, right? I mean, obviously, if you're living a little bit more lavishly, you feel like you're going to, you know, your property's bigger or whatever, you know. That case is.
Right.
So, you know, so they're talking about this, you know, 15% increase over the 1.2. There we go. I was close.
Yes.
Reported just last year. I thought that was a couple of years ago, but that's interesting. And I imagine that inflation played, you know, a factor in some of that as well. But over a 5-year span, people's magic number, I mean, that's really up 53% from 951,000 reported in 2020, right? So, I mean, that's a sizable jump.
Since the pandemic, it has increased by 53%. That is a huge increase. Now, I have to wonder, what is going into the thinking? Is this...
You think it's all inflation-based?
Is it because of the inflation that we've had? That could play into it. But is it also partly that we have more people focused on wanting to retire, thinking about the number? I don't know. I don't know that because we don't know who answered this very open-ended question. We don't have the other facts behind that. But I do think that it's good that people are thinking a bigger number and hopefully are basing it upon something. And we'll talk about that as well. But when you look further in this article, you see that what people have actually saved is a fraction of this number.
Okay. Give us some of that.
On average.
Yeah. Give us some of that compared to the savings.
So the boomers say they need, this says 870,000. And I told you earlier up here, 951. Didn't I know 990? But this says that they've got 120,000 saved.
Okay, so whatever that number is, they're thinking whether it's the 870 or the up to 900, they've only got 120 saved, so considerably short.
On average, yes.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha.
And this high net worth needing over, you know, close to 4 million amount currently saved 172,000. There's got to be some, again, I don't know who they asked because I do know a lot of people that are high net worth that have that 2 to 10 million saved.
Right.
And are very focused on that number and having the right amount to save comfortably. But then looking at your Gen Z, of course, they have some time and they say they need 1.6 million and they've got about 23,000 saved, but they do have some time because just starting out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, like anything, you know, averages can be misleading, right? I mean, when you start lumping everything together, like I'm looking at this and it says they lumped it all into an all category and the average amount saved for currently for retirement, if they averaged everybody together, is about 80,000, 88,000, even though the goal is 1.3. I mean, you know, it's funny because we always talk about numbers don't lie, but you could also certainly make numbers do things you want them to do, depending on how you put them together and what kind of categories. So how do you feel about
it? When you don't know what is built into the average, then you don't know how close that average is to some of the different answers.
Okay.
If I gave you three numbers, 10, 11, 12,
right,
the average is 11. Mm-hmm. And it's very close to each of those numbers.
Sure.
But if I gave you three other numbers and said 100, 500, 1200, the average is 600. Well, 1200 and 600 is a big gap.
It's a pretty far apart, yeah.
You know, and so an average can be very misleading if you don't know what numbers went into it. And I don't have at this point in time all of the data behind this, but it does reveal, I think, some thinking because of the jump.
Interesting.
In the number.
So facts or feelings on this? Do you think, you know, I mean, obviously when you go into doing these numbers too, I would imagine that what you have already, you know, is going to play into it. I mean, even pensions alone to me would be a highly interesting factor that could sway this thing one way or the other.
Yeah, I'm thinking that people are becoming more aware of some of the issues. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about Social Security being underfunded, possibly being cut. People are more reticent to include their full Social Security benefit in their plan. They really want to know that their plan's going to work without that. And so if you're not including that full Social Security benefit in your plan, then you need to increase what you're going to be providing for your income. You need to increase your number to cover that gap. Mm. The same with pensions. We don't have as many pensions in America as we used to. And so that drives the number up, especially for younger people, which plays into the figures. And then we have the recent inflation that has brought to everybody's mind what inflation might be able to do or could do over their retirement. And again, thinking about that drives that number up to be prepared. And I think those are all good things to think through and be prepared for. You don't, you know, you want to enter retirement with a good plan. And so you want to have thought through the things that may not go perfect and make sure that you are able to cover any of the shortfalls and gaps that might be there. So if the number going up, if that's because people have spent some time thinking about that, then that's a really good thing. Now, if it's just, okay, I feel like it should be a bigger number because everything's costing more, well, then it's no better than before.
Right.
You know, if it's not really based on something specific to your situation, then it's just a number.
Gotcha. You know, as I'm looking through this, Liz, the silver tsunami section is kind of interesting. First of all, that's kind of an interesting phrase. I kind of like that. The silver tsunami is talking about, right? It's talking about more than 4 million Americans turning 65 in 2024. That's an average of about 11,000 Americans per day. And that's going to continue, it's saying, through 2027. It's the largest surge of Americans hitting the traditional retirement age in history. And that's going to play an interesting factor in the economy, right? That's certainly going to – there's lots of – we're not even touching on the ways that that's going to affect the economy over the next 3 years. But just within this study, they're talking about the fact that, you know, Gen X, for example, which is what I am, Liz, you know, believes that there's a 42% chance that we could outlive our savings, while boomers put that probability down at like 37%, which to me is still awfully high. That's just scary high, right?
Right. It is. It is. And I think people are becoming aware of the fact that they are living longer. And again, there could be a gap with Social Security. It could be cut if things don't get done to bring it, you know, really close the close the funding gap on Social Security on what has been promised. And so I do think that people are thinking about these things. And then there's concern about what will the markets and the economy do? Yeah. What happens
this
if
election's
I need long-term
gonna be,
care?
Yeah, this election this year is going to be super pivotal in this number equation of the next 3 years just based on that. So certainly very, you know, interesting and worrisome time. So if that's the case, Liz, how do you determine, instead of just saying, okay, well, 1.46 is this averaged number, how do I figure out my number, right? Like, that's really probably the bigger question that our folks listening to today are thinking about.
And that's the important question to answer. You want to know your own number. You want to have your own plan.
Right.
You know, as you're entering retirement, and I've used this analogy before, if you're thinking about you're driving someplace, and you want to get from your home to New York City or wherever you may be going, you're not going to sit down and try and figure out where all the traffic jams are going to be or what the weather is going to be like between here and there and things like that. But you want to figure out the best route, the most efficient route, the route that's going to get you there in the best manner. And you want to make sure that everything about the car or the vehicle that you're taking is in the very best shape. And that's what a plan does for you. Make sure that your plan is in the very best shape and you know the route you're going to take. And then as you go, you're obviously going to have to make adjustments just like you would to traffic jams or weather or things like that. So the plan gives you an idea of what you should have to retire comfortably. And you look at, well, what's my spending going to be? How long am I going to live? How many years might that cover? You know, need to cover if I retire at 60 versus 62 versus 64, you know, what's the impact of retiring at those different ages? And what could healthcare cost? What if I have a long-term care need? What might that cost? And just testing those different potential scenarios to know if I retire at this point in time with this amount of money, then I should be able to navigate all of the things that come ahead of me, including, you know, risk tolerance, making sure that, well, the plan is going to be set up with a portfolio that fits your risk tolerance, because you can't have your assets earning X and your plan assuming they're going to earn Y. You know, those things have to match, and it has to match your risk tolerance and what you're comfortable with. And then your tax planning, and we've talked about that before. The tax planning is very important, because if we have, you know, let's say we have Sam and Sue that have $1.5 million that we're talking about, and they're going to take $75,000 a year from it. If it's in their IRA, they've saved all of their money, it's all in an IRA, they're going to have $56,250 to spend, because they're going to have to pay tax on that distribution. But if we have Mike and Molly, who have saved $1.5 million and it's all in a Roth, they're going to get to spend the full $75,000. And so beginning to think about the tax diversification in retirement as well is really key to making sure you have a good plan and know what number you need, what number supports your lifestyle over your retirement years.
Now, that's a great point, because in this article, they talk about the fact that taxes are an afterthought often for people, right?
Yeah.
And that is a huge piece. Only 3 in 10, 30% of Americans have planned to minimize their taxes that they pay on their retirement savings amongst, in their situation. So think about that. So only 1 out of every 10 of us, 30%, are even thinking about taxes. And I mean, you could just get cheesy and go with the low hanging, it's not what you make, it's what you keep cliche. And that still factors into it, right? So you've got to think about how to be more tax efficient.
I recently met with a new client and we were talking about some of the different planning, and they had not been putting money into a retirement plan for one of them, one of the two, because they weren't going to be able to deduct it. And so they're talking with their CPA each year. They were able to deduct for one person. They're both self-employed. They couldn't deduct for the other person. And so they just didn't put anything into this, a plan for the other person. And it's too late to go back in time, but they could have done a non-deductible contribution and they would have had all of this tax-paid money. They could have converted to a Roth without as much cost. There's some planning that got missed. And I see that all the time. There's too much focus on the current and not enough really thinking through how it plays all the way throughout your life. And that's what a good financial advisor should do, come in and help you see, you know, this is a good decision for today, but let's look at also how this impacts you from now on through the end of life.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, figuring out what your exact number is going to be, you know, customized, obviously, to each individual person. But it's certainly interesting to check this out and kind of look through, you know, some of this data and feel, and it's not overly tough to read, folks. If you'd like to check it out, like I said, we'll put the link in the show notes here for this week's description here on the podcast, but go check it out and see if it kind of sparks anything for you, depending on your age group or maybe even your kids or grandkids. Because at the end of the day, what number do you need to retire? And people, maybe Liz, we'll finish it off with this. You know, is there a magic number? Is there a 1.4 or a 2.1 or a 1.2? Or is it truly just about the income plan and the tax efficiency? Can you get it done based off of that information? What do you think?
I would say everybody has their own magic number.
Okay.
Because it is based exactly like you said on their own income plan, exactly what they have, exactly what they need, where they're going to live, you know, their health situation, the ages of the two spouses, all of that plays into what is their own number to retire. When are they ready to retire? Mm-hmm. And so everybody needs to get a plan, not use this rule of thumb. It's interesting to look at. And it, like you said, it does have some really good points. All of these bullet points under the taxes are an afterthought or things that I talk to people about and clients use many of these to improve their plan. But again, the number is individual. Everybody needs to get their own number.
Yeah. And how do you do that? How do you retire on your best path? Well, you know what to do, folks. You got to reach out and have a conversation. So if you're listening to the podcast because you're already a client with Liz, that's fantastic. You've already, you know, already on that best path. But if not, if you know somebody who needs some help, or, you know, share it with a friend or family or somebody who might benefit from the message of the podcast and maybe learn something. You know, we try to share hopefully some educational and informational ideas and thoughts along the way. And again, find us easily on whatever podcasting app you like to use, and just subscribe by hitting the follow or heart or subscribe button, whatever it is for the various different platforms. And actually, to make it really easy, you can just find it all at Liz's website, bestpathadvisors.com. That's bestpathadvisors.com. She's got a lot of good tools, tips, and resources there for you to check out. Of course, you could get some time onto the calendar with her as well through the website. There's a Let's Talk button. You could check that out. You can also check out some of the stuff, her good stuff, which is lots of different things, webinars, videos, so on and so forth. So go check her out online at bestpathadvisors.com. And thanks for hanging out with us, Liz. Always appreciate talking to you, and thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you. It was a good conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always interesting. You find some good stuff to go through. Get you thinking about stuff. And I'm going to have to steal that silver tsunami saying anyway. I kind of like it.
Yes, sounds
like
that's a good one.
It sounds like a superhero. Maybe not a good one, but it sounds like one. Anyway, we'll see you next time here on the podcast, folks. Thanks for hanging out on Retire on Your Best Path with Liz Wedderberry, founder and financial advisor at Best Path Advisor.
The preceding program is sponsored by Best Path Advisors, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advice offered through J.W. Cole Advisors. Best Path Advisors, J.W. Cole Financial, and J.W. Cole Advisors are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by Liz Whitberry should not be construed as specific tax, legal, or investment advice, nor as an offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned herein. Neither J.W. Cole Financial nor its representatives provide legal, tax, or accounting advice. Persons who provide such advice do so in a capacity other than as a registered representative of J.W. Cole. Investing is subject to risks, including the loss of principal. Due to volatility within the markets mentioned, opinions are subject to change without notice. Information is based on sources believed to be reliable, however, their accuracy or completeness cannot be guaranteed.